And good evening to everybody. This is the second of the series of Shiurim on Hilchos Brachos. Last week we talked a little bit about the background behind Hilchos Brachos and some of the developments and changes over time in the types of brachos, how we're making brachos, and what brachos we are making. This evening I'd like to discuss a little bit of a particular specific question, which I probably would have waited toward the end of this series to talk about, but two people or three people independently asked me about making brachos on food in terms of the brichas hareach, smelling the particular food. I'd like to touch on that tonight. I'm going to talk about coffee, making a bracha on smelling coffee, making a bracha on smelling bread or cake, making a bracha on flowers, fragrances, and a variety of other things. But by way of background, let me say as follows. There are fundamentally three forms of brachos that we engage in and we make. The first type of bracha is known as the birchas hamitzvah. Those are the blessings, the brachas that we make on the mitzvah, the bracha that we make on the mezuzah, on matzah, on the dalet minim. The variety of brachos that we make on particular mitzvos, those are referred to as birchos hamitzvos. The second category are known as birchos shevach vehoda, blessings, brachos that we make on praising God, thanking God for particular things, and those brachos are brachos that are specific and are exacting to thanking God for the variety of gifts that we were given. There is a third set of brachos that we make, and those are brachos that we're really talking about in this series, and those are known as birchas hanehenin, brachos that we make on pleasure. The birchas hanehenin that is most predominantly the ones that we make on are the blessings that we make upon taste of all the senses that we have, including the sense of sight, the sense of sound, taste, smell, and touch. It's really the sense of taste and being satiated physically in terms of the food that we eat, that those are the brachos that we most predominantly are referring to when we talk about berachas hanenin, whether it's hanas garon or hanas ma'ayan, getting hana in our throat or in our stomach. Either one, those are the brachos that we most fondly make that we're talking about. We're talking about the brach of shahakol, the brach of ha'et, ha'adama, mizonos. When we are tasting something or eating something specifically, we don't make a bracha on the taste, but we make a bracha on swallowing something, those are the brachas hanenin. It is interesting to note that the senses that I just referred to, take the sense of sight, the sense of sound, or smell or touch, there's no bracha that we make on those senses. It's true that we have brachos on sound or sight. For example, on thunder, we make a bracha of shekochu grasa me'olam, which is an awesome, loud, vivacious sound. We do make brachos on seeing something awesome, lightning, we make an osim ma'aseh b'reishis. We see a rainbow, we make a specific bracha. We see a unique person or an unusual looking animal. But we have zoos today, but we used to make, even according to some poskim today, on a peel, on the elephant, or on a monkey, which were unusual. So those are brachos indeed that we do make on seeing something unusual, seeing something awesome, or hearing something incredible. But nonetheless, those brachos are as a result of the incredible nature of the things that we're seeing. But nonetheless, we don't make a bracha on seeing something beautiful or on hearing a fantastic sound, a orchestra, symphony, a beautiful voice. So we don't make a bracha on seeing something incredible. If we see a gorgeous mountain, a hill, a beautiful lake, we're not necessarily going to make a bracha. We make a bracha on seeing the Atlantic Ocean because it's large and it's incredible and it's awesome. But in terms of making brachos on other senses outside of the sense of swallowing something, we really don't. So certainly there's something unique about tasting something and eating something. Certainly the understanding is that there's the greatest pleasure is when you eat something, and when you taste something and you swallow it, there is the strongest correlation between a pleasure when it comes to tasting something that's most tangible, as opposed to when you see something beautiful or hear something beautiful. It could be that that's more subjective, as opposed to a taste, which is, and a swallowing something, which is an objective feeling that I'm full, I'm satiated. Achalta v'shavata uverachta. However, there is the second sense, and that's the sense of smell, that the next set of birchas hanen apply to, as opposed to sight or sound, where there is no particular bracha. When it comes to the sense of smell, we do find that there are particular brachos that are made. The Gemara, Mesachas Brachos, relates to this, and the Gemara notes that when it comes to smell, smell is something that is gets the neshama itself, the soul, is able to get hana'an specifically. I think the way to understand that is that when you smell something, I think the Marsha, in his commentary in Brachos on Daf Mandalad or Mandalad, when he's explaining this, explains that when you have to take air in to smell something, that means there's a certain connection, correlation between the neshama and the guf. As opposed to seeing something or hearing something, those are more exterior hanos, as opposed to the sense of smell, which both correlates and connects and fuses to a certain extent the neshama and the guf, the physical and the spiritual. And therefore, when it comes to the sense of smell, there is indeed a bracha. But although there is a bracha that we make on a reach, nonetheless, it's not the same strength as the bracha we make on tasting something. For example, it's obvious, and the Shulchan Aruch points this out in Rishon Lezion, there's no bracha achrona. There's no after bracha on the smell. We make a after bracha when you wash, the chalta v'svata v'rachta, you bench. When you make an after bracha, l'michir and b'nefashos, on something that you taste or something that you eat, something you swallow and you have enough. But when it comes to a reach, when it comes to a smell, there absolutely, positively, is no after bracha on it. And there the Mishnah Berurah, quoting Achronim, explains that there's hana'a mu'etas. There's a smaller sense of pleasure when it comes to smelling something, and therefore, as a result, the Chachamim were not misaking, did not create, and did not initiate, and did not enact a bracha achrona. Another unique aspect about Berachas Hanen, when it comes to reach, when it comes to smelling something, is that you don't make a shachiyano. When it comes to the bracha, Berachas Hanen on foods, for example, so you'll make a shachiyano on a particular fruit that you eat from year to year or season to season. Every Rosh Hashanah, we make a shachiyano on the new fruit on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. But there's no such thing as making a shachiyano on a smell that I didn't smell since last year. And again, the same svara applies because there is no hana gedola, there's only hana amu'atas. There's a smaller sense of pleasure. So much so when you take, for example, the Gemara explains in Maseches Yoma that if a pregnant woman sees something and smells something that's so potent and powerful, so it could be that we would even permit her to eat it on Yom Kippur. That is to say that the reach, the smell, is not an end in and of itself, but a smell rather is a means toward the end of being satiated by eating something. So the reach and smell is a hana mu'etas. It's a smaller sense of pleasure as opposed to the pleasure of eating something, being satiated, and being full by something. So therefore, the reach, the blessing that we make on smell, does not have the same quality, the same strength, qualitatively and fundamentally and categorically. The berachas hareach, the bracha that we make on a smell, is different than the bracha that we make on food. There are essentially 4 to 5 different brachos that we make on smell. The first two are the bracha of asei besamim, and the second is isvei besamim. When you take a branch or a tree, a piece of bark that smells very good, you make a bracha atzei besamim, atzei milashon eitz, a tree, and when you take that piece, you take that bit of the tree, you'll make a bracha atzei besamim. There's another bracha that you make if you take things from the ground, leaves or grass, for example, you make a bracha called isvei besamim, based upon the shorish, which is asef. The grass of the ground, you make a bracha of isvei besamim. Now, neither of those brachas are popularly made today because we fundamentally make the third type of bracha on snow, which is bari minei besamim. That bracha, for example, we make weekly. When it comes to Havdalah, you take your cloves or your cinnamon, and you'll make a baruch ata Hashem, l'kinim al-chalam, barei minei besamim. Minei is referring and it covers to a certain extent, it's like the shahakal of the brachas on food. Minei besamim categorizes all types of smell. It categorizes the smells of a tree, of bark, and it also categorizes and falls under the category of brachos on the grass. So that's minei besamim. That's the smell that we most make most prominently when it comes to the world of smells. There is another bracha that is less well-known, but it's a question that I received a few times already in the past few weeks, and that's making a bracha on a fine-smelling fruit or a fine-smelling vegetable, take a citrus fruit or guava maybe. The bracha that is supposed to make the Shulchan Aruch race is Baruch Atah Hashem Hanosein Reach Tov Leperos. You, God, we are thanking you for giving a fine scent when it comes to fruits, when it comes to vegetables. The question that we wanted to discuss is whether or not that's a bracha that we actually make. Are we going to make that bracha when we take an orange out of the fridge, when we are in the supermarket, and when we see or smell a fantastically flavored fruit or vegetable, are we going to make that bracha of Hanosein Reach Tov Leper? So Shulchan Aruch makes a very, very blatant and explicit comment and says that the only time that you're going to make that bracha, and this can be found in Shulchan Aruch, Simresh Tezayin Tzifbeis, in Haya pri roi lachila. If there is a fruit that is ready to be eaten, mevarech hanosin riach tol b'peros. So you're going to make the bracha. God, you gave a delicious scent on fruit. V'hani nili. When are you going to make that bracha? Kishenot lo lehariach bo. When you take the fruit specifically and explicitly to smell it. Ola ochlo lehariach bo. Or you're taking out an apple and it smells good and you want to eat it. Avalim not lo lachlo. But if you're only taking the apple, the orange, and pear, or the tomato to eat, and you don't have any intent to smell it, even though the smell is quite good, and the citrus fruit is pleasing to you, or the smell of the guava is good, and the tomato or the pickle or whatever it is a very fine-tasting fragrance to you, if you're only taking it to eat it, and parenthetically there's a smell that is pleasing to you, at that point, says the Shulchan Aruch, Eino Mavarach, you're not going to make a bracha. The argument fundamentally is, and it seems to be that most poskim, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate as such today as well, that really when we're eating fruits today and we're eating vegetables today, our intent is to eat it. We're not taking the fruit in order to smell it. It might smell good also, but your purpose and your intention and your reasoning for going to the store to purchase an apple and orange or taking a fridge out of your, you're taking a fruit or vegetable out of your fridge is not to smell it, but specifically to eat it. Now, if you are going to tell me that you're taking out a fruit and you want to smell it and you bring it to your nose in order to smell it, then one can make an argument that you would make the bracha of anosein reach tov b'peros. For example, you have an etrog that tastes delicious and it's not sukkos. There's a question whether you could smell the etrog from sukkos because it's hooked to the mitzvah. It's supposed to be specifically used for the sake of the mitzvah of the dalim minim and etrog. But if you're taking your etrog after the holiday or before the holiday and you put it to your nose in order to smell, there one can make the argument that you're going to make a bracha of anosein reach tov b'peros. Or if you're going to the store, and you specifically, not because you want to know whether it's fresh or not, because that's simply for the sake of knowing whether or not you should purchase the item or not. But if you're going into the store and you pick up the pear that says fresh from India or wherever it's coming from, or you're taking the particular fruit or vegetable that's coming from an international country that you never see, and you want to smell because it's known to have a great fragrance, at that point you would make the bracha of anosin reach tov b'peros. But if you're eating it and it parenthetically has a good smell and it's a smell that you appreciate, that you like, and that is interesting to you and flavorful to you, at that point you would not make a bracha. This is Shulchan Aruch makes a point in Simen Reish Tes Zayin Sif Beis, and he also makes a point again at the beginning of Simen Reish Zayin, and you could take a look there. So at the end of the day, one could make the same argument when it comes to flowers. Now, flowers, one could argue, would be the bracha of Atzei B'Samim, because it's a branch that also has leaves and that also has a bud and is budding. One could argue that you make the bracha of Atzei B'Samim and not Minei B'Samim and not Isvei B'Samim. Most probably it's Atzei B'Samim. So what do you do when you go into the flower shop or you in your house and you receive a beautiful bouquet of roses? Roses smell delicious. Or you're in your backyard and you have some gorgeous roses that are growing, and the smell of the vered of the rose gives off is fantastic. Now, if you're just in your backyard and you're walking through, or you're just putting the flowers on the table for the, not for the fragrance, but simply because of the decor, and it looks nice, and it's not something to do for Shabbos, so then, again, it's the same svara as the bracha of anosin reach tov b'peros. You're not going to make your bracha on the flowers. But if you're specifically walking over to the flowers in order to smell them, or you're walking in your garden and you're going over to the flower to smell it, at that point you might argue that you should make a bracha of Atzei B'Samim. Now, if you're taking a walk in the botanical gardens or you're going to any of the local beautiful gardens that are full of flowers and you're walking over to a flower in order specifically to smell it, then again you would make that bracha. But if you're simply walking through the garden in order to see the gorgeous spring budding of flowers, you're walking in Washington, you want to see the, you know, we're past that season already, but if you want to see the beautiful flowers, you know, along the banks of the river, so one is only there in order to see the flowers. You want to see the cherry blossoms, but you only want to see the cherry blossoms because they look beautiful, but not because you want to smell them. I don't know if they smell good or if they don't smell good. But again, note, there's no bracha on seeing the cherry blossoms. There's no bracha special on seeing them. There is a bracha that you say in the Chodesh Nisan if you see a budding flower that one with that bears fruit. But at the end of the day, you're going to see the cherry blossoms and to look at their beauty around, you know, the Potomac. But at the end of the day, you're not going to make a bracha on the smell because you're only there to see it and not to look at it. The other items that I wanted to touch on are coffee and cake and bread and the like. The Mishnah Berurah here as well, in Kuf Tez Zayin, Sifkatan Tezain quotes, Kasu Achronet, Hamiriach Bikava, somebody who smells coffee, Kisusha Vihikama, that's chopped, grinded, and it's hot, Shirecha Nodif, that smell is awesome. V'adam Nehenem Eosarech, and the smell from that coffee is just outstanding. Sarech Levarech Birchas Asher Nathan Reach Tov Beperos. The bracha of Asher Nathan Reach Tov Beperos should be recited. Now, why are you making a bracha on a pri? The coffee is not a pri. Well, ultimately, it's a bean, and it goes back to the coffee bean. The coffee bean is connected to a tree, and therefore, as a result, it does connect to a tree to a certain extent, and the bracha of Reach Tov Beperos should be recited. That's the quote that the Mishnah Berurah says from Achronim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say, doesn't take a position. He simply quotes Achronim on this point. He doesn't specifically posit that you should or should not. He simply quotes Achronim. Now, one again could make the same argument as we made till now when it comes to fruits and vegetables. If you're drinking a cup of coffee and your purpose is to drink the coffee, and by the by, and parenthetically, the coffee has a good smell, so your purpose is to drink the coffee for the caffeine and for the taste, whatever it is. But it's not for the sake of the smell. So therefore, you wouldn't make the bracha. If you're walking into a Starbucks or into a coffee bean or to any of the coffee places, so you're not walking in there in order for the odor per se. You're going in there because you want to drink a cup of coffee, to take it in, to take it out, to sit, not to sit. But you're not there to smell the coffee. If you're specifically not going to drink a cup of coffee and you want to walk into Starbucks for the potent taste, smell of the coffee, then you'll sit and you'll come in and you'll make b'shem u'malchus the bracha on the smell of coffee. But fundamentally speaking, most of us are drinking coffee for the taste, and yes, indeed, it does have a good smell. Fresh brewed cup of hot coffee smells outstanding, most of us. And if that's somebody who you are, then you would make the argument that you should. But again, like the Mechaber said, if you're only doing it because it's a byproduct of the taste, then you're not going to make the smell on coffee as well. At the end of Siman Reish Tazayin, the Rama makes a comment and talks about making a brach on hot bread. This is found in Reish Tres Zayin, Sif Yedalit. The Hameriach the Pas Cham, somebody who smells delicious, hot baked bread. You're walking in Yerushalayim, Angel's Bakery, or any of the fantastic bakeries, and the smell and the odor can go for blocks. Yesh Levarach Shenatzen Reach Tov Bepas. The bracha you should make is, God, you gave a good smell to pas in bread. The Ramah is quoting from Abudraham, one of the great Gedolei Rishonim, Rabbi David Abudraham, that there's a special bracha to make when you smell fresh, hot bread. That's one opinion. Then there are Ramah quotes the Beit Yosef, V'yeshom Dein Levarach Alav. There are those who say that you should not make a bracha on the smell of hot bread. The Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah continues, V'chein Ein La'ariach Bo. The best thing to do is to stay out of the problem, don't smell it. So if you're walking on Rechov Kamfin Yisharim in Harnof, you should close your nostrils and not smell. That's a very difficult thing to do. Now, what is the reason to do it, and what is the reason not to do it? So Abudraham, who's the first opinion, says that you should make such a bracha, comments that the same way that peros that smell good and delicious, and if your intent is to smell it, you should make a bracha. So why should bread or hot bread be any different? Bread fundamentally comes from grain, and the wheat also is some form of a pre, is some form of to a certain extent, a tree, or it's a byproduct of grain, or it's a grown product, and as a result, one could argue that you should also make the bracha. The reason not to make the bracha, according to the Beis Yosef, because it's not such a significant chush of smell. The Beis Yosef says, it's not a chush of smell that you should make a bracha. Now, the Orach Chaim, who is Reb Zundel Kreuzer, of blessed memory, the Chaim Rachel, is a great old tzaddik living in Yerushalayim, he explained that the difference between bread and coffee, for example, is that bread is much farther removed from the actual grain itself. The bracha that we're making on coffee, on the bean, or on peros, that's directly connected to the actual fruit, the vegetable, or the bean itself. But the smell of bread has a lot of other ingredients and contents that are creating that smell. Not the wheat specifically, it's a combination of the sugar, the flour, the eggs, the how hot the oven is. There are a variety and a plethora of other aspects that go into a fresh tasting bread. And therefore, the suggestion is, according to him and according to the Ramah, and it seems to be according to the Mishnah Berurah, the best thing is to stay out of the problem. As you're all familiar, we have a concept called Safek Brachos Lahakel, when you're not sure. Maybe I should make a bracha, maybe I shouldn't make a bracha. And here you have two opinions in the Ramah, whether you should make a bracha on hot bread. So the rule of thumb is Safek Brachos Lahakel, that you shouldn't smell, that you shouldn't make a bracha. And if you're able to control yourself, so Lachain Ein Lahariach, you should try not to smell it. But nonetheless, it's quite clear that you would not make a bracha on fresh bread out of the oven. You will not make a bracha on the fresh cake or cookies that are out of the oven. And the same thing is true when it comes to coffee. If your purpose and your point is drinking the coffee and as a byproduct is a smell, you would not do so as well. If you're specifically walking into a store to smell the aroma of the coffee or to smell the fresh bread in the bakery, one could make an argument. And again, it's two opinions in the Rama, whether you will or you won't. But it seems to be that the majority of poskim, b'zman hazeh, contemporarily, look in the Sefer Vezos of Brach, he quotes a number of giant poskim of the last generation seem to steer away from making any of these brachas. Not to make a bracha on a fresh brewed cup of hot coffee, not to make a bracha on bread, not to make the bracha of anosin reach tov b'peros on fruits and vegetables, and the bracha on flowers as well. Most poskim are of the opinion that if you're walking into the store, if they're on your table or in your house, as long as your intent is not specific to smell any of these items, but it's only coming as a byproduct, they should not be made. Now, it should be important to mention as well when it comes to perfumes and cosmetics and those types of things today, because they're mostly chemical or they're a combination of a variety of different combinations of chemicals and the like. There's no natural scent, really. No bracha is made on any of those items as well, and certainly a bracha is not appropriate to be made. Just to finish on a note to try to appreciate the sense of what a bracha is all about, and we talked a little bit tonight about the senses, sight, sounds, taste, smell, and touch. The brachas that we make have to be understood on two levels. Number one, it's an obligation, right? The Gemara says, in the beginning of Parakeet Mevarchim, that Chayav Adam Levarech, you know, we have to. There's an obligation. It's Asul Adam Lehenos Me'olam Azeh B'lo Brach. It's prohibited to get any pleasure from the foods that we're eating without making a bracha. So yes, that's the rule. We have to make a bracha, and we have to make the right bracha, and that's why we have this course, is in order to appreciate the brachas that we're making. But at the same time, we have to appreciate that the purpose and the point of a bracha is to slow us down and to help us recognize the different basic things that we receive that we often take for granted. The ability to see, the ability to hear something, the ability to taste something, to smell something, to touch something is a bracha. Right, we take many of these things for granted. Every morning we break a bracha, pokeach ivrim, we make a bracha, zokif b'sufim, that we're able to see, we're able to stand tall, we're able to stand straight. When we make a bracha on the birchas hanenin, on the pleasures that we have, it's an opportunity, number one, to thank God for the senses that we have. Not everybody can taste the food that they eat. Not everybody could chew. Not everybody could swallow. The ability that we have to taste food and the fact that food is tasty, it's meant to be tasty, it's supposed to be delicious, that we're supposed to enjoy it, is an opportunity for us to thank God for that gift that we were given. But at the same time, there's something even deeper about the blessings and brachas that we make. And this is based upon a concept that from the Alta Sabbatka, Rav Nachman Tzvi Finkel Zichrono Livracha in his Sefer Or HaTzafon, who explains that a bracha is supposed to slow us down. It's supposed to allow us to recognize that the best way to hone in to a pleasure, and specifically the pleasure of food, is stop to make a bracha. If you're going to munch down the food and chew it and swallow it quickly, you're not going to enjoy it. A piece of steak tastes better when it's cut slowly and when it's eaten slowly, as opposed to when it's swallowed very, very quickly. A bracha allows a person to focus on the taste that he's about or she is about to engage in. And when you taste the food as a result of making the bracha, the hope and the prayer is that the bracha is going to allow one to appreciate the food that's being tasted even more. If you swallow something quickly, or if you grab a piece of food very quickly, if you're just grabbing it, you're going to be satiated. But at the end of the day, the sense of taste is not going to be as significant. So bracha is twofold. On the one hand, it allows us to recognize and to thank God for what we have, to thank God that we have our senses, that we're able to taste, to smell, to see, and to look, and to hear, and we have to thank Hashem for all those gifts that we were given, and to recognize that it's a gift. In the same way we can only thank somebody when we realize it's a gift, so to hear, we have to recognize that the gift of the senses is something that we have to recognize and to be thankful for, and to make that bracha. And on a deeper level, a bracha allows us to hone in and to appreciate what we are about to eat a little bit more. If I say a shahakol, and I slow down before I drink the water, or if I say mezonos before I eat the piece of cake, or if I say a hamotzi before I eat my sandwich, I will appreciate the sandwich that I'm eating even more because I have time to think about what I'm doing. And that hope we will be able to say brachas with more kavana and appreciate the foods that we have and thank God for the ability that we have to hear, to smell, to taste, and to eat. And we will continue with the next shir, number 3, next week, I will.